And welcome to another episode of Partners in Crime Podcast.
Episode 20.
Nice, 20 episodes already.
Man.
We are getting too old for this. Just like
when we started, we were but young men.
Yeah, and now we've
grown into beautiful young women.
Right. Oh, man. I'm Esteban.
I'm Alex, as always, with my friend.
Well, see.
They had this weird thing happen when they were born at the same time.
Alex called me last week, and he said, Jamie, our ratings were the lowest they've ever been without you here. We need you back. And I said, I'll do it for not you, not myself, but for the listeners.
But for the money.
Not
for the money. We don't pay well.
Yeah, we don't.
No, we don't.
You know we pay in?
Biscuits.
And gravy.
Not gravy, though.
But yeah, welcome to the Partners in Crime Podcast.
And I'm Jamie, and I'm back.
Okay.
He's back.
Where we give you the latest news on everything, movies, video games, comic books. It's all around nerdy stuff. If you guys want your insight on some nerdy stuff, we got it for you here.
We're going to dip into some different nerdy stuff today for my most anticipated and exciting head-to-head that we have ever done here in the Partners in Crime Podcast.
It's about to get brutal.
Boy, is it. We have a pretty jam-packed show, honestly, with
But for as much as we're going to jam-pack on it, this is going to be mainly... As
much
everybody
jam pack on it,
right? of course, as everybody's known, the much anticipated video game Batman Arkham Knight dropped this week, and basically we're going to be talking about this all show. But we have some news and rumors.
We have a lot of news.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, we have a lot. There's a lot of stuff that happened in the last week that we were just ready to get into. Jamie, why don't you go ahead and list off the slate of what we're doing?
Yeah. So, like I said, we have news and rumors. News. Do you want me to go through all the news of it?
Yeah. Just.
We have some Michael Keaton news, X-Men news, Flash, Arrow news, some Civil War, a lot of Spider-Man news.
Oh, yeah.
Just a handful of rumors. We're going to do the review, Arkham Knight. Esteban and I have our comic convergence of this week. And then, like Alex said...
We have Batman news also.
What news? Oh, well, I did. Well, it's a rumor.
It's Arkham.
The news you talk about is a rumor. We'll get into that in rumors. And then we'll end off with our head-to-head.
And we'll let you know what that is near the end of the show. Now, also, before we get started, I want to give a shout-out to a friend of mine, a coworker, who will be listening to us. He's going to Europe. I think he said he's going to France. He'll be listening to us from France this week.
Yeah, nice. France.
So
broadcast in France.
You know tell your French friends.
Play it out your French window.
Draw me like your French girls, Jack.
Draw it like it's hot.
All right. Let's get into this before it derails even more than it is. Okay, so like we said before, there's a lot of news, a lot of rumors. We're just going to try to piece this as much as we can. So the first thing off, do you guys like Michael Keaton Batman?
I love Michael Keaton Batman.
Good, because he's not going to be anything else more than Batman. But he is going to be in a new comic book movie called The Imagine Agents.
Imagine Agents.
What,
Imagine
Agents. Yes. Do you know what company that's from?
I don't know specifically. I know it's like an off-brand comic.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
not.
I assume.
Yeah, it's not anything related to DC or Marvel, so it's nothing like that to get excited about. But just from the name of it, he's 63 years old. Wow, I thought he was younger.
What's the movie called?
Looks great.
Imagine Agents. Now, Michael Keaton has been he's been out of it for the last 20 something years, and then he came back with Birdman, which everybody loved.
Yeah,
which I have yet to see, but everybody says it's an amazing, visual to watch.
It's a good story.
But the premise of it is it's a comic book created by the writer Brian Joins and artist Bachan.
Bachan.
Let's go with that.
I don't know. The story tackles the idea that the imaginary friends of children are actually very real and centers on the organization titled Imagine, acronym IMAGINE, which handles fights or things when these figments get out of control. And
cool
it says it's going to be in like an it's going to be like in a Men in Black fashion.
It's a rad idea.
So he's going to be like a 20-year veteran who's been doing this for a while. And the first issue of the comic came out in October 2013. So, I mean, if you guys want to check it out, definitely to get an insight on it. But how do you guys feel about Keaton kind of getting back to his roots? Not his roots, but like his comic book.
It almost sounds like R.I.P.D.
Yeah, almost. But
never saw it, but the premise, I suppose.
Yeah. The imagination
with the
of it.
Old weary officer teaching
right.
the new young blood,
and then both of them just getting panned at the box office. But with Michael Keaton, he's having the Beetlejuice remake being done right now, or not the remake, the sequel.
That's right. Yeah.
People are wanting him to do. There's another sequel that people have been. He's been in talks for. I forget what it is, but we always love Michael Keaton. For the stuff that he's
done
in the
Michael
past,
Keaton
so it's
for
like
forever.
Yeah, so I mean, him getting back to the comic book roots.
It looks like it's Boom Studios is the publisher of of the comic.
Boom.
Which I don't know much about. Let's see what else they have. Anyway,
I mean, we'll bring you guys more news as it develops. But yeah, he just made that announcement that he's going to be in his new comic book movie, which, you know, immediately people think, oh, he's going to be Batman again.
Yeah, people think Batman.
But yeah,
he's if he came back and he was Robin.
That's the oldest Robin I've ever
heard. He was Robin, but Robin Adam D. West was Batman.
Yeah.
That would be, I'd pay good money to see that movie.
Would still work.
Yeah.
Robin the geriatric wonder.
Right.
And
it's going to be like Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. It would be Mermaid. They should have Adam West be Mermaid Man and Michael Keaton be Barnacle Boy. And I'll make millions of dollars.
I would watch that. As long as they had the costumes.
And the invisible car? Hell yeah. Invisible boatmobile.
Yeah, the boatmobile. That would be underwater.
All right. Moving on to from new, more recent news. At as we all remember, in X-Men Days of Future Past, Rogue did have scenes in the movie which got cut.
Some cut scenes. So... yeah, they're coming out. We already knew they were coming out with Days of Future Past, the Rogue Cut, which is an extended version of the movie with Anna Paquin, obviously, in her role as Rogue, doing kind of her own mission during the later post-apocalyptic setting. And so the first images came out with the one I saw was her and Magneto kind of walking through a wall or broken wall or whatever. Did you see another one, Esteban? Or?
I saw one of, because it sounds like the way they did it, they cut out the Rogue sequences and they replaced them with the Kitty Pryde sequences because for some reason they said that made more sense.
Substantial in the movie though.
It was a big part, but it was like Rogue behind that whole way of doing, or not that her whole new powers, that Kitty Pryde's new powers that nobody.
Nobody even knew
kind of,
that.
Yeah, it was kind of just like, oh, yeah.
What's up with that?
And Rogue was supposed to take that sequence. And you can almost see there's like a still of Rogue kind of holding her hands in the same way Kitty Pryde did over Wolverine's head to send it back in time. So that's the image I saw.
Hmm.
Whether it works or not, I mean, it's Rogue. She can inhabit any mutant's powers for a limited time, especially according to the movie. So there could have been.
They don't give her other powers. They just give her that. They don't give.
No,
her,
they just give her the stupid touch one.
Yeah, right.
They don't give her like.
Well, because
not even like if she touches him and takes a power. Like she touches him and then like almost kills him. That's like always what it's been with her in the movies.
Right. I think that it would be, honestly, Days of Future Past was a good movie by itself. I mean, I really didn't mind. I didn't mind the Kitty Pryde.
Right. Yeah.
I was kind of like, oh, okay, whatever.
But but I kind of did miss Rogue because they had no mention to her whatsoever.
She was in the ending.
But like, it was just like there was no like.
She was such a substantial character in
the previous
trilogy.
But I'm
looking forward to it. It's not gonna be like some massive thing. It's just like a director's cut basically that they're coming out with. So it'll be cool to see. It's not gonna, you know, be some cinematic thing.
It's gonna appear at Comic Con.
Yeah, they're gonna show it at Comic Con.
I think so. Moving on with news. Excuse me. We got the Flash and Arrow release dates. Got announced along with the Flash title.
One of those is
of the premiere episode. Yeah. So Flash is going to air on October 6th and the Arrow on October 7th.
October 6th.
And then the Flash title for the premiere episode is going to be called The Man Who Saved Central City. We don't yet have the Arrow title, but just one question for you, Esma. Do you think that is referring to, obviously, the Flash, or could it be setting up another character?
It's definitely referring to what happened at the end of the events. What happened in the events at the end of the Flash season finale, because what happened, if you guys have seen the show, I know you're getting caught up
on it. I finished it.
I finished it, too.
The big cliffhanger that happens is there's a big whirlwind of the... kind of like the time machine kind of like imploded on itself, and now there's like a big kind of black hole kind of sucking up Central City. And so, and the last scene of it is, you know, Barry Allen going off and to fight it or to control it in some kind of way. And so I'm pretty sure like I think the season will pick up right where it left off. And it will just like continue that whole story where they're going, and then he'll probably save the day, and it'll probably everybody will be like, oh, the Flash here to save us, blah blah blah, and they'll probably just get into it. So I mean, it's a title that it's going to explain what is going to happen
right
in the first episode. I mean, it's a good title. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's like
right.
That's the thing with TV shows. Like, if the whole season was called The Man Who Saved Central City, then I'll be like, okay, then this is gonna be Flash saving Central City like he was in the first season. But it's like, it's a title of an episode, so it doesn't make that big an impact.
I know we didn't write it down. I forgot to mention it, but Gotham is coming back in September.
Right.
Yes. September, I want to say like 13th or 12th or something.
Have you guys heard the rumors that they're kind of alluding to the fact that in this realm of DC fiction of their
Gotham?
Yeah, Gotham. That they're kind of setting up his father was kind of like Batman. Have you guys heard that rumor?
I have not.
They're gonna kind of setting up the premise.
I don't know if I would enjoy that.
I don't know if I would. I mean, the guy that played Thomas Wayne in the show. I mean, he has like 2 minutes of screen time, but
he looked very plain. And kind of like Home Alone.
If it was Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I would definitely watch that. But which we'll get into it later. But I heard a rumor that could be a possibility.
I did not hear that.
No. Like, I would find that lame.
I mean, like he wasn't Batman, you know, but he was like a vigilante. Batman,
he wouldn't have died there in that alley,
right? But like he was like a vigilante type thing, and Bruce kind of like found out his cave or whatever, and kind of continued. Which honestly, that is a big if, and it's a big rumor.
So
I mean, honestly, that's like the rumor that I heard.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't
reported
that.
From me. I mean, it's just like fan theories and rumors here or there that maybe they might have. I mean, it's. We should also comment that. Batman v Superman is 273 days away.
Until it gets pushed back.
Yeah.
for Esteban and I, it's a week behind that.
Right.
A couple more pieces of news we have before we get to the big news that dropped this week. One thing, Leslie Bibb, you would recognize her from her role.
Talladega Nights at Bobby.
She is reprising her role as Christine Everhart. She was the Vanity Fair reporter, thank you, and the Iron Man, one and two. She's coming back for a Civil War. She posted a picture on her Instagram getting ready to go on the set.
Hashtag still relevant.
Yeah. It's probably going to be another small role, just as it was in Iron Man. But just a kind of little, if you were a fan of her character, she's going to be in it. And then Alex.
Yeah, if you just loved that character.
Yeah, she was so good.
Out of the vast multitude of unique characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You just love her.
Leslie Bibbs is the one I really stick to.
Bibb, it's not plural.
Bibb. Oh, sorry.
And then
I wrote down Bibbs, too.
Her and Mickey Rourke's Babs. Character are my
favorite. Yeah, Whiplash. Mickey Rourke's bird was Whiplash, better than Mickey Rourke. And then, Alex, you have one other piece of kind of fun, funny, creepy news.
Fun fact.
With Jared Leto.
So Jared Leto, I don't know exactly what he's doing. I follow him on Snapchat, so I see all his daily, day-to-day activities. He's been, like, hiking or something. I think he went to Yellowstone Park. I think he's just had some time, like, some kind of thing he was doing. But he's not filming right now, Suicide Squad, but...
When he wasn't batshit crazy.
If you didn't know he was crazy already and took this very seriously, he sent... The cast some letters. He sent Margot Robbie a love letter written in character as the Joker with a black box, and in the black box was a black rat.
That was alive.
The rat
or
was
dead.
It was
alive.
It was alive.
I thought it was dead.
No, it was alive. He sent Will Smith, Deadshot, a letter with a box full of bullets, and then he sent the cast Esteban, you can quote it in here in a second, but he sent him a video down near the bottom. It tells you exactly what he was kind of saying, what he says, but. He's been saying, like, sorry, I'm not there, but, you know, blah, 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 and I just want to go into it in a second. And it's kind of a dead hog.
Well, they're reporting, because they had a sit-down with E! News, and they were saying, according to The Beach, Leto also sent the entire cast a dead hog, which you were saying.
Slipknot.
Yeah. And the video of himself that he shot completely in the character as the Joker. So kind of like what Heath Ledger was doing in his
his training stuff, yeah.
Well, when he was preparing to be in his hotel room.
Yeah, but more fun than what Ledger was doing, probably. Much less depressing. Yeah.
Okay, and so they were saying, this is a quote from
Adam Beach.
Yeah, saying basically what he said, guys, I can't be there, but I want you to know I'm doing my work as hard as you guys. Okay, that's an interesting way to say that.
I don't know if Adam Beach's first language is English.
The video he showed is in character. It blew our minds away. Then he realized that day, this is real. He encompasses this beautiful man and shows in it. This guy does not choose his words correctly. Hello, how are you? But at an instant, he goes to psychotic behavior where, in fear, Beach said, but you love him because he has both of those genuine insides. So anyway, he's basically saying that what you just said, that he's
crazy.
He's going crazy.
He's definitely doing some method acting here. It just makes me even more excited. I can't wait.
Right. It makes me excited. I would say more interested to see where he takes it for this one, because
it makes me wish I was Adam Beach.
Yeah.
You don't want to be Jared Little?
I'd rather be a friend of Jared Little's, honestly.
Feel like Jared Little has too much going on in his mind right now. Like, he's just...
Probably, yeah.
He has
too many multiple personas. I know, he's in Yellowstone out of all places. Like, why is he in Yellowstone? Just because?
I'll see where he is today, guys. I'll see where he
is. Yeah, let's move into the really big news. We'll spend a little bit of time on this one.
The news that we've been waiting for like months.
Spider-Man has been cast.
Spider-Man. And he has been
anyway,
cast.
Anyway, so he's been cast. Tom Holland has been cast as Spider-Man, who is pretty much an unknown guy. He's only 19. He just turned 19. I think it was June 1st was his birthday. He's 5'6".
Nice. Oh,
so he's finally a superhero that's shorter than me.
He's younger than you, too.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is finally younger than we are. Mm. Hey, turn that off. He was actually the one of the candidates who tested opposite Chris Evans for the role.
And Downey Jr.
He's in a movie that's coming out this year with Chris Hemsworth called In the Heart of the Sea.
Yeah. Which looks really good.
Yeah, it's gotten good reviews. I don't know if it was at Sundance, but it got good reviews from critics.
It actually got pushed back from summer.
Yeah, it's coming out in December. So it's really going to knock Star Wars off.
It's going to enjoy its 2 weeks on the top.
That movie, fun fact, also has Cillian Murphy in it.
Hello. Me some Cillian Murphy.
Scarecrow.
Plenty of things.
Yeah, he was also in Locke.
Yes, he was also in Locke.
And The Impossible with, what's her face from? He was in The Secret War of Arrietty, The Impossible, Locke, How I Live Now, Billy Elliot, The Musical, Live, Wolf Hall, Pilgrimage, In the Heart of the Sea, like you said, Backcountry, Captain America, Civil War, and the Spider-Man reboot.
Spider-Man reboot.
Play Miles Morales.
He looks like a
he's a good Latino pigment. Half black.
I'll get to that because I have some stuff about that. But it's not the level of excitement that kind of like surrounded guys like Tobey Maguire when he was cast, or the level of uproar that happened when Andrew Garfield got cast.
I think
it's more just kind of a meh, you know?
Yeah, I think the reason behind that was because they weren't endorsing as much as they are with this one. Like, Marvel came out, Kevin Feige came out saying, like, we are looking for a young actor who looks like he's actually in high school. And with Spider-Man.
This kid does parkour, too.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it's like,
on his Instagram.
So, I think the thing with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, they weren't really, you know, publicly announcing that, oh, we're looking at this guy, we're looking for this look. They're like, we're just looking for a guy that can play a superhero, basically. But this, like, we're trying to make him look like actual Spider-Man.
Along with those lines, did you guys see the Sony leak where it had like the requirements for Spider-Man?
You had to be like a certain height.
I have them all written down here if you want me to go through them real quick. So for mandatory traits for Spider-Man, I don't know if this wasn't confirmed because it was part of the leaks, but it looked pretty legitimate, but I'll go through them real quick. For mandatory traits for Spider-Man, he has to be male, doesn't torture, doesn't kill unless self-defense or defense of others, no language above PG-13, so no F-bombs, C-bombs, anything like that.
This was for all the actors?
Sony Marvel stuff.
This is what all the actors had to do. It's like they couldn't kill anybody? I really hope they didn't kill anybody.
No, this was the mandatory traits for the role of Spider-Man.
Okay.
And Peter Parker. Doesn't smoke tobacco, doesn't abuse alcohol, this is my favorite, doesn't sell or distribute illegal drugs.
That's true.
I mean, he does live in New York, so maybe, I mean...
He sells and distributes pizza.
Does not have sex by age 16, or nor will he have sex with anyone below the age of 16, which is good.
Which is good. Yeah, that's creepy.
Not homosexual unless Marvel has portrayed that alter ego as such. And that's for Spider-Man. For Peter Parker, the traits he has, full name, Peter Benjamin Parker, Caucasian, so this kind of... got rid of anything about having
Peter Parker,
Because there was talks about having Peter Parker just be them making Peter Parker black or something like that. Not having it Miles Morales just be.
Well, they made Johnny Storm black. So
yeah, which I was listening to another podcast and there was a guy
on another podcast. What is this treachery?
Yeah, the guy was he's a black actor. He's on iZombie. I forget his name. He was saying that he wouldn't want that because he wouldn't want to be the first black, ethnic character to do a role that's predominantly.
If it backfires, he didn't want to be one.
If there were going to be a black James Bond, he wouldn't want to be it just because of the uproar and stuff for it.
Well, that's not the first time that's happened because the Superman Returns reboot, Bryan Singer actually wanted Will Smith to be Superman. And they actually approached him.
I would have watched it.
Yeah, it would have been different. It's Will Smith.
Better
watched
than Man of Steel.
Right? Wow. But hold on. That's
yikes! You better calm down.
That's
kid.
A fight for another day. But anyway. But he said that Will Smith was approached by Bryan Singer or by the studio saying, "Hey, we want you to play Batman." Like there were or Superman.
Superman. Yeah. I'd want you to play Batman too.
Yes, exactly.
Deadshot's normally white character.
But he turned it down, saying that he didn't want to. There's a quote I'm saying, you messed up white people's characters.
There's certain people who would be able to deal with the uproar. I think Will Smith actually would be able to deal with a guy that would be able to deal with the uproar. But it would be really controversial. So I know a lot of characters or a lot of actors wouldn't want to do that.
But it's there's already great, you can say African American characters.
Sure. Yes, you can say.
There's a difference between Black Panther, he's African.
I usually say black.
For the characters, for the characters, they've been great black comic book characters.
Right.
For instance, Val Zod, Static Shock.
They just haven't made their ways into films.
Val Zod.
I love Val Zod too, because I've been reading the Earth 2, the new 52 Earth 2, and he's really good.
That's 4 weeks in a row that you've mentioned Val Zod.
I like Val Zod. I swear, dude. It's like I think he's become my new character of Earth 2.
Yeah,
because he's better. I like him better than Batman.
You better.
Well, Batman doesn't survive in Earth 2, so I'm just saying.
Spoiler.
He doesn't survive for long.
I don't care. let me
still
finish.
Spoiler. It doesn't matter.
Let him finish the Peter Parker traits real quick. So, Caucasian, like I said, and then heterosexual. Parents become absent from his life during childhood. Raised by May and Ben in New York City, gains power while attending middle school or high school. He designs his first red and blue suit. The black costume is a symbiote, and he's not designed by him. He grows up middle class in Queens, attended high school in Queens, and attended college in New York City.
You know what I like a lot is they had the asterisk next to, they had double star, right? So asterisk, and it was next to, sells drugs, cusses, kills and stuff, and the asterisk was only under the control of the symbiote suit. And then in parentheses on the bottom it says or emo dances.
dances down the street.
Catwalks. Saturday Night Fever catwalks.
God, that was awful.
And there's another aspect that says must be going through puberty.
Yeah. His voice needs to change.
He needs to crack once.
He's gonna be hey, stop right there, and his voice is gonna crack.
Blah!
It's get over here, Green Goblin.
Stop it, Franco. Some people going back, how he is so young, some people didn't want him to be so young because they think it's going to mean another origin story.
Yeah.
And they just didn't like that he was so young. I'm kind of, I don't know, I don't really care either way.
It really doesn't matter at this point.
Well, because people, right now, dude. Because they didn't want to be so young, but if you go to the comic, him being young in part of the Avengers and stuff is a really big part of Ultimate Spider-Man and like I said, of him in the Avengers, him being younger than all the Avengers was kind of a plot point. Well, not a plot point, but an ongoing joke, sort of.
I'll say right now, with the age level that they're going at, his Doc Ock, Manny from Modern Family. He's an alien.
That would be...
Or Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
God. That'd be awesome.
Oh, my God.
Killing it.
So,
Olaf.
What's your guys' overall take on Tom Holland as Spider-Man?
It's fine.
It works. It's fine, works fine, you know? I mean, that's short, but that works because
Spider-Man's not a big guy.
Well, Spider-Man's 5'10".
Right. Well, that's the thing about casting unknown characters or unknown actors. You really can't say if they're going to be good
or bad. I honestly prefer unknown characters or unknown actors or lesser known actors.
It's the Star Wars effect. You produce unknown actors and then they might turn out good, they might turn out bad, but it really doesn't matter because they're unknown.
Well, now it's for example, Robert Downey Jr. cast in anything else, it's like, oh, it's Iron Man in
right,
this movie.
Right.
Or, you know, something like that.
No, I can't. I don't do that with him.
I do.
I can see him as other things.
I was like, Iron Man's playing a lawyer with what was his dad's what's the guy?
With, I forget the actor's name.
But Robert Duvall. Yes, Robert Duvall.
The only thing that will be weird for me is he's like 5'6", and if he's here near Hemsworth at any point, Hemsworth is like 6'3".
Oh, dude, he's in that movie with him.
He's
I
just
saw.
Gonna, he's just going to crawl on his shoulder.
No, I saw a yeah. still. I
he's
saw.
Gonna be, he's going to be his rocket to Groot.
Yeah, I saw a still from that movie they're in together, and he's just getting, he's just so it's so tiny looking. It's just, I'll see if I can pull it up for you guys. Hemsworth is towering over him.
Yeah, well, Hemsworth's a tall dude.
He's Australian. He's massive. They're all yeah. massive.
Are they all massive? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Or is that every Australian is huge.
Jim Jeffrey's not huge.
Okay, every Australian.
Jeffrey's not huge.
But what do you guys think about the director, though?
Yeah, so that's our other piece. One of the other pieces of big news is John Watts is going to direct the 2017 Spidey standalone movie, untitled at this point. Again, very unknown. Like similar to Holland, very unknown. He has a couple pieces of work. He has a movie coming out this year called Cop Car. Excuse me, with
Cock Block.
Yeah, Cock Block with Kevin Bacon, starring Kevin Bacon. It came out at Sundance. Sundance. It had pretty solid reviews. Mostly 7 to 8 out of 10s across the board is what I saw. He was apparently handpicked by Feige, and has a pretty strong comedic background, which is good for Spider-Man. Spider-Man's usually a comedic. Kind of more comedic character than most other comic characters, because he directed and produced a lot of like the Onion News episodes. That thing, if you're familiar with that,
nope.
Which is just a Onion News is kind of a satirical news, similar, if you will, to like Saturday Night Live,
The Daily Show.
It's sort of like The Daily Show, sure.
Yeah, you nerd.
anyway, yeah, so. It's hard to give your opinion on him, a little bit harder, I think, than Holland, because we don't know exactly what direction the movie's going to go. We don't know.
Well, because he's the only, I mean, hold on, he's produced 13 movies, but he's directed 13 as well.
And it's all been lower budget sort of stuff.
Right.
This is by far his biggest budget ever. So.
Right, like the stuff that he has
at least
directed,
I would hope so.
One is, yeah. I guess, a drama with Kevin Bacon. And
yeah, that's Cop Car.
Yeah, and then or a thriller, excuse me, and then another one is a clown,
which is like a
horror,
which is one of those like campy horror movies.
Yeah.
From what I understood.
Yikes!
Yeah, so it's like you really don't know where this guy could go. And I mean, they said the same thing about the Russo brothers. They're like, how are these two guys that only have directed TV gonna be able to make a big cinematic scope movie? And then. Yeah,
and man, did they kill it.
Oh, yeah, and they pull out Winter Soldier, and everybody's like, oh, shoot, now they're directing the rest of the Avengers movies. And
which I'm pumped about.
Right, and James Gunn. Like, nobody expected this guy, who was relatively, I would say, an indie director, to come out and direct a huge Star Wars-like Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and it was,
right.
and he killed it. So as far as directors go, John Watts, I mean, he could. There's a reason why they pick these directors. There's a reason why they have, like, all these... they have like a certain idea. Now if they don't like it, I mean, they could the thing with Edgar Wright, you know, like they could easily drop him off, get another guy.
I think the reason he was picked was his comedic background. I think that played a strong role in it. So we'll see. So that's the kind of tone I think the movie's going to go with, is more comedic. But you know, we obviously will have to wait and see.
Should be fine. I mean, it's nothing too big a news drop. You know, I mean, it's.
Right.
Finally got Spider-Man. Okay, let's do this. Now he's going to be in Civil War.
Yeah, that's our last piece of Spidey news. He's going to be he's going to come in Civil War.
Right.
They confirmed that. Kevin Feige confirmed that in an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, I believe, that he's going to be in the new Captain America Civil War movie, which I feel was kind of a box. Well, we all knew it was going to happen.
Right.
So, well, we hoped. But it was a box office sort of move to announce it, you know, to increase tickets.
That's what
I was
talking about last week with the Hulk being in it. Why not?
Might as well. The rest of the Avengers. I mean, you just got Spider-Man in there, so why not?
Fuck you, Thor.
Just bring Thor.
In,
he's like, oh wait, I forgot my extra cape left in the Quinjet. I know. It's like
I forgot my sleeves.
What does she call it?
Meow meow.
Yeah. Meow meow.
He's like, I forgot that one. I'll just go on this adventure with you. Oh, Thor. Yeah.
I'll just jog behind you guys.
Yeah.
Majestic.
I'll just lightly. Yeah. I'll just
like a Mustang.
Shampoo my hair again.
In that cave.
Spider-Man being in Civil War, they said that he's not gonna have a significant. Black Panther really took his role in Civil War, where Black Panther's gonna reveal his identity. Not. I don't know if that's what exactly what they're going to be doing, but Black Panther kind of took the role of Spider-Man in the whole movie storyline. That
I thought it was Ant-Man.
No, Ant-Man is just like, they're all just, at this point, they're all just cameos, but they're going to center the movie around, you know, Captain America, Iron Man,
yeah,
and then Black Panther, I guess, is going to take a bigger role in that because he has to start off his own movie, you know, right after that. So I think that, you know, Spider-Man being in there just would be, it'd be an added bonus. Like he's,
I think it's going to be a glorified cameo. Would you guys have liked it better if it was a surprise? Like they didn't come out and straight tell us? Would you have liked it if it was just kind of more like you didn't know and then, oh, look, it's Spider-Man? Like, been pumped about, you know what I'm talking
anything,
about?
Anything, if anything, because they're already in 2 months of filming. I think they had like a month and a half left.
Or yeah, they're two
like,
months in.
Yeah, so I think they have like limited time left. Nothing, they've been, they have the script written out, they have everything ready to go. They could always have rewrites, reshoots, and everything in the middle of the year or at the end of the year. But I mean, this movie's fast approaching. If they're gonna put Spider-Man in there, it probably would be not in a big way, you know.
Well, no, it's gonna be small. I'm just curious if you guys would have rather been surprised by it or like had them not announce it. And
I would rather have had a the way I would have done it. I would have been just had like a small little shout out, you know, because Kevin Feige has said that Spider-Man's been around already. Like it's kind of like what Batman's gonna be in Dawn of Justice, where he's been around.
Yeah, I believe Feige said he wants him to have been like fighting crime.
Right, like he's already established level. As a character.
Yeah.
So I mean, and I would just have like maybe one of the, maybe an Easter egg or maybe like a small cameo or just have him like have one of the Avengers bump into him, you know, while he's on the street. And like,
yeah,
oh, hey.
No, I want it to be a definitely
like door, have him knock him down.
Right.
Accidentally. Like, oh, excuse
and
me.
And he goes, Spider-Man, no, that's what he friend. Comes down for Civil War. He comes down, knocks Spider-Man over. He's like, nerd, then shoots back up to Asgard. That's the whole scene.
I hope he speaks with his accent.
Right.
I hope it's not American Spider-Man. I hope he's English.
English Spider-Man.
Just go all out.
Would you? So I think I want to see Spider-Man, but not Peter Parker. You know?
I
want to see Spider-Man come in, just fling fling Cap's shield at him or whatever.
Well, as far as the whole like secret identity thing, because I don't think they're going to go with the secret. They are going to go with like register their aliases to shield and all that.
Right.
But I mean, nobody in the Marvel Cinematic Universe has a real secret identity. Like everybody knows America. Like. Iron Man basically was like, oh, hey, let me have a press conference and tell everybody that I'm Iron Man. Thor is Thor. Everybody
Matt
knows
Murdock.
That. Matt Murdock, yeah, but he's like...
I want him to be in the movie. I want him to be in the movie and just show up as like one of their lawyers.
Right.
Like if they're at like on Congress talking about the registration, just be like, just have Matt Murdock be there.
Yeah, so
be
they their, always...
Like Cap's lawyer.
That would be cool. That'd
be funny.
That'd be funny, yeah. But I think with the whole secret identity thing, it really wouldn't matter because it's like they all... have their secret identities kind of out there already. Everybody knows who they are. You know,
right.
They're kind of like a government agency. And it's like Spider-Man could maybe reveal his secret identity like Captain America. Because I think he can reveal his secret identity to Iron Man. Because
he was Iron Man first. At least if it's being true to canon,
Could, and that's why they had him test with Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans to see how well he would work with them. Because
it is their movie almost.
It is, yeah. Right. It is their movie. But no, I think I would have liked it better if they didn't come out and tell us, and then he just popped up, kind of like how at the end of in the post credit scene with Iron Man when, Fury comes and like they talk about the Avengers and they're like, everyone's like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that would have been cool. But
like, why is Nick Fury black?
why is he? Yeah, what? Sam Jackson. There's no snakes on this plane.
Well, it's funny because in the comic books, they asked Samuel Jackson if they could use his likeness in the comic books. And then he was like, yeah, you can, but if you guys ever make a movie, I get to be the character. So that's
does make sense.
Yeah, that's right. So his
I'm going to be Sam.
So it was actually on purpose that Samuel Jackson was Nick Fury because they're like, yeah,
he
we have to redesign.
On that.
Yeah, he was like.
He old school called dibs.
Right?
Yeah.
He licked his hand and put it
yeah,
in his
right exactly.
Yeah, he said, that's mine.
That's mine now.
Right there.
Let's go ahead and move on to some quick rumors we have.
As far as Batman vs Superman comes out, there's been a lot of confirmations steadily coming out more or less, but there's also been a lot of rumors steadily coming out that there might be some characters showing up, might be some characters. One of them is Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Right. Yeah.
Him as we don't know exactly. They said he's been.
I mean, we do.
In our personal opinion,
it could just be a smokescreen. It could just be
right.
Dude, you see him filming the scene.
Right. Well, he has been filming scenes, so I mean,
he filmed one scene, as far as we know.
But people think that pretty much, because there was a leaked photo I think a year ago of a painting of Bruce Wayne's father, and right. Thomas Wayne, and it looks a lot like Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I thought it looked like James Franco.
Yes,
whatever. I don't know which one you were looking at, because I don't
remember. Like James Franco.
I don't remember seeing a guy that looked like he was half asleep. You know, so I was like,
pull up a picture.
I'm trying.
It looks like Dean Morgan mixed with James Franco. How about that?
Well, anyways.
Anyway, yeah. So there's a rumor that he's going to be playing Thomas Wayne.
And they reshot the Wayne murder scene, and he was totally there in costume. You could see him. So I'm sorry.
I mean, he's pretty much Wayne. Yeah, he's pretty much Thomas Wayne. And if they
pretty much confirmed it in this interview anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I mean, that picture certainly looks a lot like me.
Oh, yeah, sure. You can't say that doesn't look like Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Like, honestly, that does. That is Jeffrey Dean Morgan all the way. Honestly, it looks like him. To be honest, he kind of looks like Ben Affleck in a way. Like, they have the same chin.
He looks like the Flashpoint Thomas Wayne.
A little bit.
Yeah, and honestly, hey, if they ever did an Elseworlds story where he was like Thomas Wayne or different, like
he would fit.
He would fit. Yeah, I can totally see him.
He played a really similar character in Watchmen to Flashpoint Thomas Wayne.
So I could definitely. And so we don't know exactly. There hasn't been any confirmation, but we do know that he has been filming scenes. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it could be.
If I could confirm it right now, I would, because I feel like it's almost just, it's just indeed gonna happen.
Right. I mean, there's too many facts saying that there is. But moving on to more DC rumors, Green Lantern has been kind of the subject of just mystery rumor. It's been
true.
Rumor has it.
It's like the Sacramento Kings front office. Am I right? What?
Well,
all right, there it is.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
If you're not on board, you can get out.
From Sacramento, I guess.
Sacramento Kings.
Shout out, Kings. It's all about the Warriors.
Carl Landry listens to this show.
I'm sorry if the NBA champion.
You don't even know what basketball is.
I know, I don't. But
you play with your feet, right?
You play with your feet, right?
Is that the one where you kick the ball?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I've been playing it right this whole time.
Sports.
Metaphors.
Man. Like
anyway, so Green Lantern.
Green Lantern, he's been kind of like the subject, not of controversy, but the subject of the debate of who would play him in the new DC universe, cinematic universe, because they have been hinting that he will be in the Justice League. But yeah, Jonah Hill, sure. There's been the rumor with Tyrese.
Tyrese came out where he was being really cryptic of an interview.
He's like, oh, well, I have. We watched the interview right before the show, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, I have a role. I'm not going to say what it is. It might be green, and it might have something to do with Lantern. But, we don't know so far. He was very, inconspicuous about it. And he was saying, he more or less confirmed that he's going to be in the DC cinematic universe to an extent.
Unless he's just screwing with everyone.
I wouldn't say he confirmed it.
I would say
The way he was hinting at it, he was just making it seem like he has a big, he's like, oh, I have a,
Jeffrey Dean Morgan pretty much confirmed.
Yeah, but right, Tyrese,
his stuff was a little more vague.
Well, no, they were, I thought they were pretty similar in their vagueness, but Jeffrey Dean Morgan has a lot more backing up his than Tyrese does in terms of evidence for him being in the movie and stuff. I think either Tyrese is just being cryptic, or he's just messing with everybody.
Which I don't want to see, but that's the reason. Why would he be cryptic for no reason? I don't get it.
Just to mess with, because the interviewer was asking very pointed questions,
because there's been so many rumors with Tyrese being Green Lantern.
Right.
So
even if you auditioned for it and didn't get it, they're probably like, just don't talk about it.
But he says he's had interviews and meetings with Warner Brothers and DC and everything. So it's like he
went out of his way to go do that though.
Yeah. But still, he could still have a presence in DC. But anyway, going along with that. There's just been rumors after rumors of people mainly looking at there was that one guy that was part of Ferris Aircraft that looked a lot like Hal Jordan. They were like, oh, that might be the new
Green
Lantern.
Boyer.
Danny Boyer or something like that.
Dan Boyer. And he's a drone pilot. That's what he's credited as.
Yeah, so we thought maybe he could be Hal Jordan, blah, blah, blah. So there was just rumors after rumors, but the newest rumor is that
my favorite rumor of all time.
And honestly, I called this one when I said it, but if they do cast him, I'm going to rub it in everybody's faces, because I kind of called this one, because I remember my dream casting for my Justice League involved Chris Pine being Green Lantern, because he just looks like the part.
I swear this rumor has come out before. Maybe I'm just...
It has, yeah, it has.
Yeah,
it has
a 100 times.
I think it was a rumor, it was a fan favorite, hey, make Chris Pine Green Lantern, and it was like, oh, yeah, but then they were like, oh, Chris Pine in talks for Steve Trevor. Well, now people are speculating that the Steve Trevor rumor was kind of like a smokescreen for the Green Lantern, because they're looking at him. There's been a rumor that they're kind of looking at. He's in talks with Warner Brothers to play Green Lantern again. Hmm. And along with that, the rumor is that this might not just be a Hal Jordan Green Lantern solo movie that's coming out in 2019.
But the whole Green Lantern core.
But the whole Green Lantern, yeah. So it could, that is involved John Stewart.
The main three human.
Yeah, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, maybe Kyle Rayner, maybe Simon Baz.
I've heard zero about those two, just the main three.
I've only heard Hal,
Guy Gardner, and John Stewart.
Which would be like, you know, interesting way to take it.
And then
they could
introduce those guys later once they have a basis, but people who don't read the comic books don't really know anything about Baz or Kyle.
Right, but like
the smart route would be those three.
Right, but like people really don't understand Guy Gardner either. Like people...
No, but
like,
they could introduce him easier that way. And they can be like, because those were the main three when Evan Sir came down and crash landed. There was three people chosen that were worthy enough.
Right.
It was Hal Jordan, and then the two backups were John Stewart. Well, it was Guy Gardner and then Hal Stewart. I'm sorry, it's John Stewart. So how Jordan
just
was the number
stop
one
talking.
Choice.
Just
shut up. Yeah.
And
let
so
me and Esmond do
so
the
it was
show.
Kind of like, you know, if Hal was unworthy, but he was chosen to be worthy, and then Guy became worthy, but he broke his back, so John Stewart ended up taking over.
Hey,
and
that
then
happens.
And then he became...
A lot of people break their
He
a lot of people
walk.
Breaks their backs in the DC.
That's
universe.
What it was. He didn't break his back. He went into a coma.
There you go. That's different.
Yeah, and
that's the same thing.
And so those were the main three, so that would be an easier way to centralize a story as opposed to bringing in Kyle already,
okay.
Because Kyle is so separate from that original storyline anyway. It would be easier for a movie, I suppose, that way with that storyline to go that direction.
Right. All right, let's go ahead and get to our last rumor so we can get to the Batman Arkham Knight review.
There's actually two last rumors.
Oh, is there? I just have the Batfleck one. What's
right.
The
other one? Well, speaking of directors, especially with John Watts
that's right,
directing and everything, Marvel has been trying to expand their cinematic universe for, you know, every
You mean DC?
Both Marvel and DC, because they're still trying to fill in the director spots for Captain Marvel,
right?
For Doctor Strange, the Inhumans they're still looking for.
They won't have that for a while.
Yeah. But they said they've been looking for that. But one of the big ones is Black Panther. Who could really take on the role of Black Panther? Because this is
the director role.
Yeah, the director role of Black Panther. Because you know they really want someone that knows what they're doing with the character, especially one that is such you know.
A really milestone.
Right, a milestone for...
If you will. Even though it really shouldn't be, but...
Right, but like it's an important shift point because there hasn't been a lot of...
To bring in a minority actor.
Right, exactly. There hasn't been a lot of...
In the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right, so they're looking at the Selma director, Anna DuVernay, I might have said that wrong, as the...
Tough to say.
Yeah, as the director for Black Panther. Now, she's done Selma as her biggest credit so far. She's done other things. I'm going to look them up real quick, but her being a director... would fit. I mean, I haven't seen some, but like they said, it was really
It's got great reviews.
It's nominated for Academy Awards.
Yeah,
so
I'm not really familiar with her or her work.
Right.
But I think it's interesting that we're coming out and
well, actually, she has one Oscar win.
Four.
Selma, I think.
Best. Oh wait, no, wait. That's the yeah. Selma has one Oscar win. But
okay.
She does not.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just interested to see that they're coming out with.
Oh, she was
possible
the
directors.
Hold on. She was, let's see, she was in Selma. She had
yeah,
few
Selma
things,
was
Scandal.
Scandal the TV show?
Yeah, Scandal the TV show. But I think I saw something with iRobot almost. Hold on. That
good
movie.
With,
yeah,
it's
okay. It says
speaking
something.
Speaking of Will Smith.
Yeah, it said something. She might have written it or produced. I don't know, but it said something right here that said iRobot. Like, it says known for iRobot, Spider-Man 2. And Collateral, so.
Maybe she produced it.
Probably, yeah. But
so,
something like
maybe she does have some. We'll look into it. Maybe she does have some connection to comic and superhero movies. But yeah, I'm just glad that they're getting this going for Black Panther.
Right. Because I'm kind of I'm
really excited for the
movie. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, like I said, I'm not a really big Marvel fan as I am DC, you know. So I mean, anything Marvel will kind of like it's kind of worth it's definitely like Ant-Man. I'm kind of excited for Ant-Man. I'm definitely going to go see it when it comes out. So
I'm not excited
as far as Marvel movies go. I think I'm more of a DC guy based. I think I'm more excited for Batman v Superman more than Civil War, but I still will go see them with most anticipation. So it's like,
I'm more excited for Civil War, but that's fine.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I love Marvel though. Marvel's like it's they're fun movies and everything. But we're not gonna hear discussing.
Yeah, just last running long here. So last
big
rumors.
News. I mean,
yeah,
this
it's
could
the
be,
last rumor.
It'll be it's exciting rumor news.
So Ben Affleck obviously playing Batman. Rumored to be actually directing portraying Batman and directing the standalone Batman film, which I think is really exciting to think about him.
But it's also a big if.
Yeah,
it's
a big
if.
I know a lot of people kind of cast as Batman, a lot of people like assumed that he would be directing like that. That was kind of
well,
hand in hand.
I remember them in an interview saying that they came to Ben Affleck to see if he wanted to direct him. Not a Justice League. I think it was one of the Justice League movies or something like that. Hmm. And they're like, would you be interested?
The new ones?
Yeah, the new ones. Oh. And they're like, well, would you be interested in directing a Batman movie? And he was, and he said before that Batman is one of his favorite comic book characters. So he's really going to immerse himself in this world. That's why he even took the role as Daredevil because it was like the closest
writer
thing.
Was he used to write for Batman, so it was the closest thing he would be able to get to playing Batman. At least that's what he assumed.
And he said that he didn't want to do it mainly because he wasn't well versed in the CGI world, like the green screen world. He's always been like, you know, on the ground, like with things like The Town and what's his Argo and everything, which I finally saw.
So good.
It's really good.
So good.
Are you finally saw Argo?
Yeah, I finally saw Argo. And so honestly, the way he directs, I could definitely see him directing.
I would
be exciting.
Prefer the way he directs, where it's not just green screens and CGI.
Right.
I think that would be so much better for a Batman movie, or just for any movie.
And just to go back on that director, she was a promotional services assistant for Spider-Man. Like, she wasn't really...
She wasn't really involved.
Promotional services.
She was just like, hey, go watch this movie.
Yeah, that's what she's under. Collateral, iRobot, and Spider-Man 2, and White Chicks, and The Terminal. All of them are promotional services. That's it.
Okay, I thought she was actually directly involved in it. Okay, so anyway.
Yeah, so just...
But
that's something I think I would really enjoy as having.
Right. But going, like, the Batman thing is... It's kind of like a big if because they haven't even announced Man of Steel or Batman.
In their
slate of movies that they've announced, I think like a few months ago at the beginning of the year, they said that they're the possibility of a Batman movie reboot and then a Superman or a Man of Steel sequel. It's in development. Like it could be a thing, but right now they're focusing on the stuff that they have already labeled as coming out. So, I mean, they haven't even said. If this movie is coming out in 2008, they said it's the time that they're looking for is 2018.
Which is awesome. It's only 3 years from now.
Right. So it's like, it could be, I mean, I would honestly be excited, you know, because most of the stuff that he's been involved in have been him starring in too. So it's like,
I think so.
But that, I mean, it'd be exciting, definitely.
And written by Chris Terrio.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Which I always love that.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So we always said that when Arkham Knight came out.
Yeah, so that sums up the rumors. Let's go ahead and get into the review of
Arkham Knight. I remember when
I'm going to be honest, I have still not played it.
You have not played it.
But that's because I have to come over to your house. So it's going to happen today.
Or you can just get your damn PS4 and then just play with me online.
We have so many more things you and I need to buy.
Right.
Other than me buying a PS4 right
now. It's honestly, it's for this game, I've told you guys a story a million times. I bought my PS4 for this game.
Wow.
And anyway.
Yeah, I need to buy an interface. Like, I need to buy a PlayStation 4 right now, man. My PlayStation 3 is just fine.
You know how I got my PlayStation 4? By saving up all my tips.
I know that.
And dear God, did it take so long, but I got it. But anyway, we said that when Arkham Knight comes out, we're going to dedicate a whole show to it. Now, we'll talk. I can't go really in depth into it because literally, this is not even a week old. This game has been out.
We can do a more in-depth review another week once we finish
playing it and everything. But from the things that I've seen so far, it's obviously been the most anticipated game of the year of 2015
of all time.
I remember going there on Monday night and just getting in line first, getting my stuff. I got the limited edition, so it came with like the statue.
How much did you pay for it?
About like $100 and something. It was the first game that I've actually paid big money for, which honestly, it was worth it because honestly, I forgot that when I first pre-ordered it, I put a $25 down payment on it, and I was like, well, okay, I must have bought the season pass. And then I get there, they're like, oh no, you just bought the limited edition. I was like, oh okay, that's cool, I guess, because I've paid like money. I paid for like Call of Duty, and I got the season pass with that, and that's been kind of pricey too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so like I put this one down, I'm like, wow. Anyway, so it comes with the Arkham Knight statue that kind of has an ominous type of cryptic message at the bottom of the plaque saying in loving memory of Gotham's knight. And has
Batman.
It
makes you think of The Dark Knight Returns.
Right. So it's like, I don't know. There's been a lot of cryptic things. I mean, in one of the launch trailer videos, you hear Commissioner Gordon. Actually, this is the first line of the whole video game.
He says it's so cool too.
Yeah, he was like, "This is how the Batman died."
So he says like a man, right? Which is awesome.
You trying to tell me something, bro?
Yeah, that wasn't a beast.
That wasn't Gary Oldman.
No, yeah, but the whole dynamic of the game is just so intense. Like, I remember starting it up, and
did you pee your pants?
Oh my god, I had to change my shorts. I think it was, I said pee. Hey, I said change. There's so much stuff to it. I mean, alone, people have been just going crazy over the Batmobile sequences. And
yeah, I remember even
you've seen the gameplays for it. Playing it is just another thing on its own, because you can like drift almost. You can train into the battle mode at will. You know, you can eject from making soar right out of it. Mm-hmm. You can, there's like these sequences that you have to track down an ACP carrier that basically is kind of like a rig for the Arkham Knight, and they're spread out through the city, and you have to chase them around and everything, and it's just, it's awesome. Like, you can use the booster, you can jump over things. It's just amazing. I mean, that's just the Batmobile sequences. You can easily spend like an afternoon just driving around the city and
just going for a night, stopping at stoplights,
right? You know, I bang the law, and
I drive and I stop at stoplights.
Put on your blinker.
You wait for pedestrians instead of killing them.
I turn my radio down when I get to intersections, so not to be mean to
you. Put your blinker on.
I don't want to hear my music.
Right.
You don't do donuts in the parking lot.
No, I still do donuts.
Never.
By that I mean I stop at the donut shop.
Yeah, but the story of it is what I really was interested in most. I mean, I will say the free flow gameplay is the combat system way improved it.
It got even better.
It got even better. Oh, like my. It's like they use like you can use the environment now. You've seen it in gameplay trailers with like he'll smash his head
like Injustice.
Right, he'll smash his head against like a power box, or like he'll jump up on a lamp, cut it down, and then smash it down on somebody.
Or like he'll just like hold his head underwater in a bathtub and just
right, just be, like fill a sock with soap and just beat people with it.
That's what I've been waiting for.
Because you with the added function of a dual play, because you get to play. So far, I've only played with
Nightwing,
Catwoman, and Nightwing.
Because Catwoman's always around, yeah.
But like I'm saying, like you get to switch.
You get to do the dual fighting.
But you can switch between characters, so you can like you'll say press L1 to switch character, and you'll switch to Catwoman like in mid flight, and then she'll come over, throw a thug at Batman. Batman will just take him down. Same thing with Nightwing. And Nightwing,
that gameplay video stuff looks awesome.
Yeah, and I've actually seen Nightwing, or I've actually played with Nightwing, and he's a lot faster than Batman. Like it's
quick,
crazy.
Yeah.
He's a quick little bugger. But the story alone, I don't want to give too much away because there's so I'm like Alex, you're gonna
I can't wait,
like,
dude.
You're gonna have your heart strings tugged out a little bit in this one, because like there's so many emotional things in this, just in the first few minutes, you know. And there's so many like surprises you're not gonna even see.
Dude, I can't wait. Can we end the episode now and just go play?
Oh, let's go. You know, bye guys. See you later. Bye. Okay.
No, but we know this head to head has to happen.
Oh, this is head to head. Yeah, but with the whole
coming at you next.
Now, do you guys think? Do you guys have like a vague idea of who the Arkham Knight might be?
Yes, I have an idea.
I have a great from playing this.
You're not done. I'm assuming.
I'm not done.
I have an idea who it is.
I'm not dumb, but I'm not done either.
Okay, good.
But
dunce.
I'm a dunce. No. If you guys are fans of the comics, I like I said, I haven't finished the game. I don't know, but I have a pretty good idea.
You don't know, but you have an idea?
But I have,
I'll talk to you after the show.
Yeah, I'm not going to say who it is, but the things that the Arkham Knight says, like his voice is modulated and everything, you know, his face is covered.
It's not like we would know the voice anyway.
Right. I mean, but like, you can kind of like the things that he says to Batman. I'm like, okay, that's a little too on the nose. I kind of have an idea of who this guy is.
I do too. Yeah.
So it's like, I'm waiting for them to be like, oh my god, it's you. But I already kind of knew that. I know, but I was like, I'm kind of waiting for them to say it's this character, you know?
Right.
But it's almost. So it's like, it's almost too on the nose where it's like, But anyway.
I just can't wait to play it, dude. I'm so excited.
And honestly, it comes with an expansion pack, so that gives you another insight.
Have you played with any of your new suits yet? Is it like the other games where you have to beat it first before you can use your
suits? I think you
suits.
Do have to beat it first, or maybe...
like finish the story mode, I think,
finish
right?
the story mode. But the stuff that can... If you have a PS4, the PS exclusives with art, or it might be for Xbox too. I don't know, but the ones that I got were the Justice League 3000 one, where he has like that red scheme going on. It's more like battle mode. He has like red eyes. His ears a little shorter. The Batman, the 60s Batman, which is hilarious to see, because like, like you always wanted to see what would happen if like Adam West got really buff for the role. You know, it's exactly it's exactly how you guys would imagine it. He's like really buff, and he's just like it looks ridiculous, but they kind of make him a little fat, like around the midsection, because they put like they put the underwear like to his belly button almost.
It's high riding.
Right, man. It's throwback.
I forgot it. Like most of that, all that's just like felt. His arm gauntlets are just felt.
Right, and they have the Batmobile skin, the Batman 60s Batmobile skin, which honestly I was expecting them to like. Be driving in the 60s Batmobile, but it's just
kind of puts the skin on the car.
It puts the red outline of
it. Looks weird.
It looks exactly like the Arkham Knight Batmobile, just with like a little red in there, and then the like the bat symbol on the side. And
because it's black, so it's gonna be the same color anyway.
Right, and then they have the at the beginning of the game they actually have the Batman Arkham City. The suit you start out with is not the one you see in the game.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's a totally different suit. You'll see it.
Oh, I'll see
it
today.
If you got the limited edition, if you got the Batmobile edition,
which nobody did.
Yeah. But if you got the limited edition, you got the new 52 skin, and that includes Robin and Nightwing, and they're gonna come out with new ones. They have where you see the skin slots. And
yeah,
everything.
They'll come out with
they have 20. More. I mean, I got the season pass. I paid an extra 20.
Arkham City ended up with like what it is like.
I think 15, it's like 10. Yeah, 10. Like 10 skins.
The best one being the.
The
best one's the Batman.
That's another big one coming out for Arkham Knight 2 is the Batman Beyond suit, and that looks almost kind of like more.
It looks completely
technology
different
based,
than
yeah.
in that one, though.
I think that with this movie or this game, I mean, it's just beautiful. I hate using words like beautiful or gorgeous when I'm describing. Like I told you guys, inanimate objects. You know, just things that like that don't deserve to be. But this deserves to say it. It's beautiful. No, it's beautiful, gorgeous, amazing,
phenomenal.
Yeah, but I won't say that.
Glorious.
I don't have a PC, so I can't say for the PC gamers. I'm sorry for you guys. Yeah. I know you guys are kind of.
One of my schoolmates, Dylan, was in here earlier, and he definitely has.
Well,
a PC.
Yeah, they are furious.
Yeah, I mean the game is glitchy. It lags. It's really bad. There's like a laundry list of just.
The biggest issue I saw was the frame rates. And
right,
it's a huge, and the graphics huge drop. From what it was on the consoles.
Right.
I was telling Jamie.
So it got actually got pulled from Steam. Warner Brothers pulled it to fix it.
Yeah. I don't know who bought a hard copy still of PC games, but like the Steam will say like that you can get your money back. Just write a letter to Steam and we'll get it for you.
Just email you. But yeah, that's one of the that's at least what I feel is the main reason they ended up pulling it off was because of all the massive amounts of refunds that they were being requested. So they needed to do it, or else they were just going to lose a huge amount of money.
Which is sad because they are saying they're going to re-release the game in fall. They're going to fix all the problems, get it out there again, because this game should be appreciated by everybody on every single format because it's an amazing game to play in general. Now. The plot twist I've only played for like three nights in a row, 3 hours.
So many
each.
Hours.
Yeah. Three. I had work the next day at like.
Well, while
7
we were driving here, he was playing
it. I was playing it, in my mind.
He did this cool thing where he FaceTimed his PlayStation 4.
Right.
From the car and he's playing.
Yeah. I had my sister play it for me. I'm like,
go left.
No,
right.
You wouldn't. That's not true. You wouldn't let her touch it.
No, I would not let her touch
it. She's not going to touch it.
No, yeah. I've put it in the big screen room, so like nobody's been able to watch the TV in the big screen room because I've been watching.
But
I will say something weird though,
to just leave it alone.
Yeah,
basketball's over,
right.
Dad.
I know exactly. Giants are on the winning streak right now.
They won yesterday.
They did win yesterday,
handily. Okay, so leave me alone.
But I will say 13. That this is going to be kind of nerdy that I do this and kind of weird.
Oh man, nerdy. That's never happened before.
I know,
on this
right?
Show.
But this is like super nerd. Like if you're a big Batman fan, like this, the whole slogan of the game is be the Batman.
So
right?
You dress up as Batman. While
I
you
dress
play.
Up as
gotta
Batman.
Gotta do
no,
it.
Kidding. No, okay. But, I wish I would, if I had a great Batman suit, I would dress up and play that game. I'm
can
not
imagine
kidding.
Walking into your buddy's place. He's just sitting down on the couch with like a bowl of potato chips and in a full Batman.
No, like everything, suit. Like but like wearing no pants, just like wearing underwear, and then like the everything.
Gotcha.
Waist up, gotcha. Is everything Batman. That's how I probably would do.
He's got the chest piece and the,
right?
the full on
and
like,
the cowl, yeah,
and everything. Like just
but
imagine
just no pants.
Yeah, imagine Christian Bale's Batman suit, no pants.
No pants, yeah. But I will say not that cool I can't.
Ooh.
But I can't play this game unless it's at night. I'm sorry. It's weird. If you
that's
play,
okay. I'm going to play it today. It's not going to be nighttime. So.
I know, but it's just
not
like
nerdy. That's just like a weird.
That's just a weird thing because you're weird.
ADD thing.
No, because like it feels better like that, you know? It's like, or in a dark room because like you can't be Batman in the middle of the day.
You can't do it during the day. You can only do it during the night with the lights off.
It's like
it feels better that way.
It's seriously, quote. Right? You know, like I honestly, it feels good. It feels right being Batman at night. Because if you're doing Batman at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, then it's like, oh, well,
I get what you're getting at, man.
Hey, I'm not the only one. I've heard other people play it only at night too.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you think so. And the one friend you have.
Can't wait to play.
But yeah, definitely, I can't wait to play today, Dan.
I mean, out of a 1 to 10 scale, this easily is a 12. Because this game is
That's awesome to hear, dude. Reviews, I literally can't wait.
The like IGN gave it a 9.2 out of 10. Polygon gave it a 10 out of 10. GameSpot 7 out of 10.
Yikes.
Games Radar 4 out of 5. Metacritic 90 out of 100. Obviously.
Like,
yeah, 4 out of 5. So yeah, it's been getting phenomenal reviews. Other than the PC, but it's awesome on the main consoles, it's been.
But the reviews for the PC are not for the story or not for the. It's just
it's
game
for the
way.
Quality
for
of the game.
That they can't play it.
Yeah.
The quality. But yeah, well, maybe we'll do another kind of full in depth.
We'll do the best of the best. We'll start playing together.
Yeah,
a full review of the story, plot, spoiler. We'll have a spoiler a review of it and stuff.
Yeah, because there's a lot more. I've played, like I said, for like 3 hours for three nights each night, and it's like I'm only at 32% of this game completion. So it's like
that's more than I thought you'd be at.
That's like 10% a night, dude.
Right, you know. So it's
you're moving along.
I know. Like I've been playing like a madman, but I've been trying to space it out where you know, like before, like you'd play the story first and then the side missions later. I'm actually trying to do like the side missions, so like,
oh, okay,
like periodically, you know. Like,
I usually get to the story mode first with those games.
Yeah, but like it makes it feel better because like everything happens in one night, you know. It's like,
yeah,
so
that's
it kind of
cool.
Like,
makes it feel better, you know.
Right.
So. All right.
I get it.
Go ahead and move on to our comic convergence this week.
Oh yeah,
we have a lot actually.
Just to get through real quick before we get to the head-to-head.
Some of the ones that you always have to look out for, like we've said before, Comic Convergence is a weekly segment that we started a few weeks ago where we're going to list the new things that we've seen so far, stuff to look out for, both on DC, Marvel, and some off-brand that includes Vertigo, Image. Definitely look at those. Take a look at those books out there for you. First ones that I have for you guys are We Are Robin. This takes place after the events, I think, of Batman and Son. Or Robin Rise. I have to look up for exactly when it takes place after.
Right.
But it's basically just a bunch of kids kind of fighting crime and they have the Red Arbin logo on their jackets, shirts, whatever. And it's kind of like reminiscent of the mutants in Arkham Batman The Dark Knight Returns, where like the mutants become kind of like Batman's army and they fight for, you know, what's right and everything. So it's kind of like that. Definitely check it out. Superman Truth. The events.
Sorry, he's reading at the same time.
Yeah, I can't walk and talk at the same time. But the events of the last outing of Superman, I would say, where Lois Lane outs Superman as Clark Kent. So
how dare her?
Well, that's like the big thing now. Like Superman is just Superman now. He's not even Clark Kent because he can't be. But definitely look. Yeah, he can't. Definitely look out for that one. The Green Lantern Lost Army, really great one. The Grayson. Spin-off series of him being a secret agent for Spiral. Really, really good. I've been reading it a lot. It's a monthly series, so definitely check it out. It's gonna pick up, they said. I forget the spin-off character that he got his own comic book. Moon Knight or something like that. I forget his name, but definitely check out Grayson. Gotham by Midnight. If you guys have been following Gotham Academy, it's a great kind of spin-off series from the Batman series.
Yeah.
Gotham by Midnight is one of those two. The Flash 41, the first appearance of Eobard Thawne, actually Eobard Thawne in the DC
hearing that name.
No. yeah, we get the Reverse Flash.
That?
Yeah, the Reverse Flash. It's Eobardthawne. It's a future name, so it has to be weird.
Yeah, apparently.
Batgirl 41, a really good one to look out for. The first appearance of the new Jim Gordon Batman mech suit along with Batgirl.
Like a robot.
Yeah, and she doesn't know that it's Jim Gordon yet, so I mean that's still up in the air. Definitely look out for that. And the new Aquaman, I think it's 41. I might be wrong. If I am wrong, definitely correct me in the comments. The Aquaman's new look, it's kind of almost like he has no sleeves this time. It's not the one we've seen so far in the New 52 where it's a red or it's a yellow shirt and green trunks and everything. It's not reminiscent of Jason Momoa, but it's it's kind of looking
sort of
back,
inspired
yeah, like,
by
it's,
you
he's
know?
Like a different like, color scheme wise he's more like militarized, not militarized, but like armorish, you know,
okay,
kind of. It looks a lot better. Definitely guys check it out. For the off-brand stuff, I would say the Walking Dead 143 coming back. I mean, Walking Dead, they've been always on par with what everybody's been expecting. They're always bringing out more obstacles for the humans to overcome, and
the same obstacles,
right? Exactly. Just fight off the walkers. But this 143 is said to have been getting a lot of good reviews, so definitely check it out. And Fight Club 2.
They
got their own spin-off series. Not spin-off, but
it's
kind of like a
continuation.
It is a continuation of the story of the first
of
Fight
son,
Club.
It's his son, I think.
It is his son, yeah.
Yeah, and they said a lot of people that have read it said that they had a lot of traits of Tyler Durden and everything.
Yeah,
and
that was the...
Like
I think that was...
Soap and
everything. If I'm familiar enough with the plot, I haven't read it, or I haven't read
right.
the plot was in a while, but it is supposed to be reminiscent of
right. Like he has a lot of traits of Tyler Durden, and like the wife is kind of seeing the Tyler Durden come
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I think so it was like the wife wanted it to be more like it was when he was
right when he was in that persona or whatever.
Crazy.
Yeah.
She's like bored.
Yeah. Yeah. She really is bored.
If it's still the character that's played by Helena Bonham Carter, I'm not surprised.
Okay. Yes, same character.
What do you got for our comic conference?
Yeah, so I just have a handful here. First off, obviously Marvel's Secret Wars is going on, and they have a lot that come out, I think, two a month of that, been since May. The first one of those Secret Wars, Armor Wars. So I won't go into specific issue, but because it did just come out anyways. It's like a world, everyone has to wear armor. We don't yet know why. They're kind of going into that. It follows the death of Spider-Man with a Y. So it's a it's a different Spider-Man. Yeah. It's on the place is called Techopolis, the domain that they're in. And it's like you have a lot of characters you know that are in these like bulked out armor suits, like Kingpin, for example. So I thought it was a really interesting sort of story. We don't yet know why, like I said, why everyone's in armor or what's going on. And
it was a battle world, but you said it wasn't.
It's on Techopolis, I believe, which is the domain of Battle World.
Okay.
So I thought, I just thought it was interesting because we don't know what's going on yet. Moving on, Deadpool's Secret Wars.
He's gonna have the secretest.
So yeah, this is if you're not familiar with what Secret Wars are, the original series ran from 84 to 85 with 12 issues. So this Deadpool Secret Wars is Deadpool being kind of plopped into some moments, like he was hidden in those moments of the original Secret Wars. And like his like take on like him being in that like all of a sudden, and it's supposed to be like a funny, fun Deadpool comic, which it is. Like I said, it's just old scenes putting Deadpool in him, and then like there was one fighting the X-Men or something like that. I forget exactly what it was, but it's just like a fun, really fun sort of comic. And then another really kind of original, interesting comic is Thor's Number One. Which is also Secret Wars, written by Jason Aaron. It's like a guy, basically a cop show with Thors. So it's on Battleworld. Doom is like the god, and the Thors are they like upheld the law. They're the police basically of this world. So there's all these different type of Thors. So there's regular Thor, obviously. And then there's like a group Thor. There's a frog Thor.
Frog.
And so, yeah, it's just like a cop drama, but as these like Thor characters. So and it's one that's getting really
is it Thor in Order SVU?
Thor in Order SVU Spectrum Special Victims.
Yeah. Criminal intent. No.
It's like kind of out there original. It's been getting great reviews. So go like definitely check it out. But just to run over like if you're not familiar with Secret Wars, like I said they had the original.
It's kind of like what Convergence was.
Sort of. Yeah, they had the original DC, from 84 to 85. It's been rebooted this year. The original plot for the 84 is a character called the Beyonder, sort of like observes the Marvel Universe and is fascinated by the superheroes. He chooses a group of the heroes and a group of the villains and transports them to a planet that he created called Battleworld in a faraway galaxy. Like some of the characters are like the Avengers, Fantastic Four, some of the Fantastic Four, X-Men villains, like villains like Doctor Doom, Doc mm-hmm. Ock, Absorbing Man. Side note, I believe this is the where Spidey was first introduced with the black symbiote suit. I'm not sure about that, but
yeah,
I think
it was Secret Wars.
I think it was that.
Yeah. The original 80s are you talking about, right?
Yeah,
84. Yeah, he was in black symbiote
suit. And then new Secret Wars is similar. It's merging. It's like you said, how it's convergence. It's sort of merging all the different universes.
Right.
Like Ultimate and 2099.
DC's like, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Next one.
So, and the result of the merging of the universes is Battle World, which that has different aspects of the various universes. And then there's also, like I said, a number of tie-in miniseries with like Thor's one. So it's they all go through three different subtitles. It's Battle World, Last Days, and War Zone. So that's kind of just Secret Wars there for you.
Nice.
Just to kind of.
I definitely got to get into the Marvel universe as far as comic book because they said there's a lot of good stuff to look out for. So I would definitely want to check that out. So wrapping up our show, as we always like to do, our epic head-to-head.
It's a head-to-head for the ages today.
It is something that nerds will appreciate.
And it's something that I'm very...
Book lovers will appreciate.
I'm something I'm very, very, very passionate about. Yes.
Let's go ahead and get... We only have a little bit of time left, so let's go ahead and get right into it. The battle is, which is better, Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings? Alex, we're going to start off with you. Go ahead and give me your opening statement.
All right, so Lord of the Rings, as many people know, is a 7-book series.
You mean Harry Potter?
Thank you, and I won.
I'm sorry. That's the last thing. So Harry Potter, yes. Harry Potter books have sold more than 450 million copies since their first release in 1997. The films have made $4.7 billion, and each book sold at minimum at least $50 million, with the most $50 million for Deathly Hallows, and the most being the Philosopher's Stone and or the Sorcerer's Stone, $107 million.
Fun fact, I believe today was the day that Philosopher's Stone was released in
Philosophers.
In the UK. In England, it's the Philosophers. Here, it's the Sorcerer's Stone. But pretty much, the reason I think this book series is so good is that it doesn't just apply to adults. I read it when I was a kid. I still read it as an adult. It's a teenager. It's an adult book. Like everybody can just read it, and it's something that people can love. It as of 2014 is the highest grossing film series of all time. It has since branched off into two theme parks, with at least several Universal Studios parks having Harry Potter lands in them. Spinoff books, including Fantastical Beasts, which includes the movie coming out in a couple years here, Tales from Beetle the Bard, and Quidditch Through the Ages. Mm-hmm. It just was announced officially that the stage show for Harry Potter would be taking place, I think, in a year or so. It's called Harry Potter and the Tale of the Cursed Boy is the exact name.
That's correct, yeah.
It has had multiple video games, including one for every book/movie and the Harry Potter Lego movies. I'm sorry, Lego games. Yeah. The jelly beans that were in the story themselves are sold by Jelly Belly, which you mean Bertie Bott's Every Flavored Beans. The Harry Potter Scenic games for the first four, the last three, well, four, I guess you could say, and then all the series in general. And then what it did for kids in general, Halloween opened up. Everybody wanted to be a wizard. Everybody wanted to play, as a wizard, they want their own wand. They sell wands. I had a friend who bought Hermione's wand. They've made a game out of it. Quidditch is now a recognized game in college, and drinks, including butterbeer, which is if you go to the Wizarding World, you can personally get, as well as I don't know how many words came from Lord of the Rings, but Muggle is now an official recognized word in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Huh, didn't know that.
Exactly. It holds the record for most pre-ordered books with 500,000, and with the Deathly Hallows, there was 50,000 trucks devoted to only transporting.
I did see that.
UPS trucks devoted only to transporting the books. Stephen King called it a feat which only a superior imagination is capable of, and the two top podcasts on iTunes, MuggleCast and PotterCast, have reached the top spots of iTunes, including the rankings of the top 50 favorite podcasts in America.
Is that you're good?
I'm good for now, yes.
All right. Esteban, hit it.
Now, I have a bunch of facts I can throw at you guys as far as, box office, stuff like that. I mean, yeah, Lord of the Rings combined has sold 150 million copies worldwide ever since the release in 1970. I forgot the exact date.
The year's not relevant.
Yeah, the $1 million as far as the box office combined of all three original trilogies, the $1,035,942,000. It's about $20. That's a lot of money.
I like a piece of that.
All right.
Please.
1954.
Thank you. As far as critical acclaim, this thing has garnered the most Oscar, especially the last one. has garnered the most Oscars out of any movie. Return of the King, obviously winning 11. Every single Oscar they've been reported to have been nominated for, yep, won every single 11 Oscars, mm-hmm, for that matter. It has transcended through the ages. Now, you say Harry Potter is, you know, just for everybody to read. I can't read this story as an adult, mainly because it's focused more on kids and growing up in the wizarding world, which is great because it's more of a teen adolescent, what Twilight did for a lot of teens too. Twilight, like Hunger Games, a lot. Okay. As far as the dynamic for a lot of what it's for, you know, it's for a lot of teens and a lot of for growing, coming of age. Whereas Lord of the Rings, it diversifies throughout the ages of, you know, a fellowship, of friendship, of brotherhood, of loyalty, of it transcends a lot of things. I mean, just with the books in general, you know, if you have a whole language of Elvish created by one man, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien is a mastermind. A lot of people, even including J.K. Rowling, have said they've taken a lot of elements from Lord of the Rings. You know, they have fantasy almost kind of spurred from his image. He created this whole world, and that goes off with The Hobbit, The Silmarillion, the whole, like, people try to look up the background of Sauron, or that character alone is so, I've tried to, and it's so hard to just locate his single origin of where he came from, you know? So, I mean, that just shows you how broad the aspect of it. And the movies by itself, I mean, I would say Harry Potter will definitely be going down as one of the biggest franchises of all time. There's no doubt about that. But I feel like Lord of the Rings is, you know, right alongside him, even more so because just by the critical acclaim, sure. By the box office, sure. But just, you see, yeah, everybody wanted to be a wizard when they went out to Halloween and everything. But everybody wanted to be an elf. Everybody wanted to be, you know, a hobbit. You see all these characters. I know, you know, a hobbit. I mean, that's just you personally. But I'm saying it's like everybody loved the character of Legolas, Aragorn, Gandalf. You know, these are fan favorites, you know. And this has spanned for more than 70 years almost. 50 to 60 years almost. Because you see all the devotion of this. Now, as far as story goes, you know, I feel that with Harry Potter, nothing was ever really in peril that much. Like, it was always in peril. The Wizarding World was in peril as far as, you know, Voldemort being like, oh yeah, he's going to destroy all the, it was like the Half-Bloods or something like that, or the
pure anybody bloods. He didn't anyone find
that wasn't pure blood.
Anyone worthy. Sauron wanted to destroy the whole Middle Earth and repopulate with orcs. So it was like the whole world was in jeopardy rather than just like, I mean, the Earth will still, you know, spin around and around if Harry Potter's world, if his Voldemort had his way. With saying that, you have a lot of people, you know, saying that Harry Potter, you know, yeah, it's for everybody to read. Everybody can read it, but at the same time, it's like, if you're not a kid, you wouldn't really read this book. As far as Lord of the Rings, anybody can read those books. Anybody can really watch the movies. You know, you see a lot of people in line. If you didn't really grow up in that whole universe of Harry Potter from the early 2000s, you know, you really weren't that invested that much in Harry Potter. Like, I remember being in that age and Harry Potter kind of being like, it was the big thing to go see, but so was Lord of the Rings. You know, you saw Lord of the Rings, everybody wanted to go see that movie, everybody was talking about it, and everybody was talking about Harry Potter as well. But I feel like with Lord of the Rings, it almost made an impact, especially with, you know, the movies, just trying to put those movies to film was something totally difficult that you could not just do. And Peter Jackson had a specific image for it, and a lot of people take their cues from Lord of the Rings. You see all these movies being set kind of like a Lord of the Rings temple almost. And I feel with Harry Potter, they went through so many directors. I think they went through four or something like that.
Four
directors, and it took a while to get, like, there wasn't a definitive image of Harry Potter other than just being those three.
All right, I'm gonna cut you off there and let Alex get some rebuttal in here. And just kind of have a debate here, Alex. So, what do you think about what Esteban just said? What are your responses?
So, a few things. I think it is a big part that this book does relate to so many age groups. Twilight was a young adult book. It is projected towards young adults. I don't know. I mean, I just don't agree with you when you, like, I was not able to read Lord of the Rings until I was at least in middle school because there were so many things I personally didn't understand. With Harry Potter, I know so many adults that still read that book. I'm an adult. I'm 21 years old, and I have two Harry Potter tattoos. I still read a book a year. Like, I know so many adults that Harry Potter still is it doesn't get old for them. And it's kids, teens, adults. I know all of those people that are just starting to read it, continue reading it. And then just because he pioneered fantasy, I get that. Like, he did, like, yes, so many people take, like,
cues, free inspiration
from him. But does that mean all fantasy has to be in a, like, is any fantasy, like, original now? I mean, like, just because he did that doesn't mean that it's completely, like, because he
But you see
that,
what I'm saying? Like,
the,
he kind
the
of...
The fantasy pioneer, you know what I mean? I, which I get
he kind
of
laid
saying,
the
yes.
groundwork.
He did.
It.
He was an inspiration.
Now, when it comes down to the story, it's like, it's a story that can is relevant to all age groups. It's friendship. It's courage. It's not your typical damsel in distress story. It's a girl who can fight for herself and in turn is almost stronger than the boys.
We can say the same thing about Arwen, too.
I'm not saying I'm not. It promoted strong female women. And it had the biggest book twist in history. Nobody saw that coming.
With
Snape, yeah. I mean, if you really like, I kind of understood it, and I kind of wasn't surprised by it. But nobody saw that coming. And personally, I think the villain was a little better developed because you get to see him go from this kid who gets corrupted into this almost like I've seen described. I apologize for saying it, Hitler type person who didn't see
very,
any,
it was yeah
exactly. And you just see more development other than this eye. And I know he was a little more developed in.
Well, I think that's
in
sorry,
the first one, but he's not developed. But when it comes down to it. When you say that he would just want to destroy the wizarding world, nobody in his eyes was worthy. So that would have leaked over to the regular world. They're not magic. That's worse than a mudblood is, being half magic and half human. Humans are the worst type of thing to him. So if anything, he had his way. If he kept doing it, he would have moved to the regular world, and he would have done those things in my eyes. So I just think there's just so many things that the Harry Potter books do in a wide aspect that apply to so many more people all around the world. I mean, Lord of the Rings applies to everybody, and I think the whole big thing about seeing those movies was because they were made so long ago, kids were now adults to see those movies. But I think parents could take their kids to see these movies. Parents could read these books to their kids without having to worry about them saying, why did that orc get, like, stabbed in the throat or something? Like, it applies to kids and teens and adults, and they can share that love, like you see with the amusement parks, you know?
Yeah. All right, one more response by Esmon here, and then Alex and Esmon get your final closing arguments. So yeah, Esmon, real quick response here from you.
Well, I think that with critical acclaim, both of them did really well, but I feel that with response to how the movies were, it's like what it took Harry Potter to do in 7 books and 8 movies, Lord of the Rings did in 3. You know, like you got all that emotion, all that drive, all that, you know, that character development in the 3 movies. You know, it's like, yes, you say Sauron wasn't that big of a character, or I mean, he was a big character, but he wasn't really developed. But you saw what was underdeveloped with Saruman, you know, his basically his puppet master. You saw all those things. You saw, you know, the strong female characters in Arwen and Eowyn. You saw the brotherhood between Legolas, Aragorn. You know, you just see all the things that are present in Harry Potter. You see, like, almost built. And yeah, like you see him built with Harry Potter because, you know, they had so much time together. But mm-hmm. I feel that with Lord of the Rings, what they did in 3 movies, you know, you don't have to commit like a week to watch these movies. You can commit like yourself at 2 days to watch Lord of the Rings.
It takes a long time
to watch.
The collector's editions are 4 hours, so you're looking at 12 hours of.
But like with Harry Potter, you have 2 hours a movie, you have eight mm-hmm. movies. It's like it takes a while.
Relative
and it's like honestly,
hours.
I watched Harry Potter out of order when I first saw it. And
that's
so
a
it
mistake.
Was, yeah, so I honestly I couldn't really get into it as much as other people were. I'm not saying it was a bad, you know, I'm not saying in any kind of way I hate Harry Potter. I mean, I just really, it wasn't really my cup of tea, whereas Lord of the Rings was like, it was the thing that really transcend, even visual effects too, because you see, you know, Andy Serkis, a lot of the Weta Industries, you know, there's a reason why these guys are at the forefront of, mm-hmm. of CGI and everything. I feel that with book people that love Harry Potter now as adults, they grew up with Harry Potter. You see a lot of adults that were Harry
That's
Potter
me.
Fans. That grew up with Harry Potter.
Right here, baby.
But with people that were, you could be any age of Lord of the Rings and be introduced to it at, you know, 10 years old and at 60 years old and be like, oh yeah, I can relate to this. Whereas you say Harry Potter was, you know, they were in school, you know, they were growing up as preteens. You know, the only time you see them as adults is at the last part of that one movie and that was not even in the book, you know? So, and
it
like
was.
That
was,
or
it was,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
There's
like a lot of people like, like people really didn't relate to that part because like, oh, I mean, I still see the kids in the movies and everything. But with Lord of the Rings, it's like you can show this to anybody. Same thing with Harry Potter. But like, if you show like these big epic cinematic battles to adults, they're like, okay, yeah, I can really get into that. If you see these two, you know, these two wizards having a battle in the middle of a court, in the middle of a courtyard, which is basically not even moving around that lot. I mean, you see the honest trailers of Harry Potter. Like, it would have been, well, these duels would have been better if they were kind of like
done much differently.
All right, let's cut you off, guys, here, and then just Alex, real quick, closing argument, and then Esteban, closing argument, and I'll make my ruling here.
Okay, well, just real quick on one part. You said everybody can relate to it. I don't see how a kid can relate to fully grown adults and mystical hobbits fighting in a war.
But they can.
But that's just me.
But like you can see where the hobbits you can see how they grow up with the hobbits. You know, it's like Barry and Pippin. They're kind of like the.
Okay, so I'll take that point and say you can literally grow up with these kids through 7 years. And now you said Lord of the Rings is one story. That's why three books can do it, or three books and movies can do it justice. You follow Harry Potter through 7+ years of school and these stories. So 8 books and movies. Oh, 8 movies and 7 books.
But that generation, I feel, would have more effect. On it then.
I understand that, but at the same time, I feel like you don't love Harry Potter as much as Lord of the Rings. I kind of at least you don't see them as much because you came into them in a different way. I love them both, so I can take them both for what they are. And I feel like Harry Potter had so much more to offer me as a person, and then also visual effects. Harry Potter had one of the most realistic dragons I've ever seen in my life. They had sea creatures, mermaids.
You can't even say that about Smaug.
I'm not saying that Smaug wasn't realistic. I'm just saying, like, as a point of like effects, like the things that are explained in these books. Gigantic spiders, flying cars, magic in general, is just, it was brought to life very well in FX as well.
All right, Esteban, quick closing arguments from you.
Harry Potter, great for a kid growing up. Mm. Lord of the Rings, just, it transcends so many cultures, so many, you can tell any of this to any kind of story, this kind of story to any kind of person, and they will totally relate to it. Not as far as just growing up, but they can totally relate to it on more. The cinematic scope of it was just amazing. There's a lot of people. There's a reason why it's won 11. There's a reason why Return of the King won all 11 Oscars for its group, and it's been the movie that's won the most in history. You can talk about the box office. You can talk about the theme parks. They're all at this point. They're cash cows. You can milk both Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. But I feel like Harry Potter, they're kind of milking it more because it relates more to kids, rather than Lord of the Rings. Like, it's more of an art form. You see this as a, you know, a whole language got brought out of it. You know, a whole kind of following came out of it. You know, it's just I feel like the premise of it would really make for a better story rather than having to sit through 8 movies, rather than, you know, just getting to the point of one epic adventure.
Yeah.
You know, taking, it's kind of like what I almost kind of put it to, like, people who love Harry Potter are kind of like the Trekkies, and people who love, you know, like, they have a really. Really of a strong following.
And let me guess, Lord of the Rings people are Star Wars fans,
right? Like, they, it can,
interesting,
like,
analogy.
Because Trekkies, yeah. they're if you're not a sci-fi nerd, you know, you wouldn't really understand, Star Trek. But for Star Wars, it can apply to anybody. Okay, you know, like, anybody can watch Star Wars.
All right, Alex. Well,
I meant to say, sorry, I had it written down. Pop culture, just what it did for pop culture in general, as a whole.
Noted. All right, thank you. All right,
and then those spells were actually kind of a language too.
Sort of. All right. In the British Latin.
Yeah, mostly Latin in a way. But
all right, I need to make my ruling. That was a pretty good debate, guys. That was solid. You guys threw it. It was pretty passionate. I appreciate the passion from it. Alex, you gave me a lot of really good stats and a lot of really good pieces of evidence. Esteban, the critical acclaim definitely was really good. The Oscars, obviously, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked your points about the the scale of the world, what it created.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it's dope.
I think your point about the 7 to 8 movies versus 3 to 4 is not really relevant. It doesn't really affect the overall quality of the story. Because it's just that we're talking about the entire thing. Not what would be more fun to binge watch. Alex, I think your point about the pop culture is definitely very strong, and I think it's definitely more pop culture relevant than Lord of the Rings,
The 1 second pop culture.
Us. Basically, everything he said here was pop culture, all of his stats. I think I disagree with you, Esteban, where you said that anybody can read Lord of the Rings.
I still have trouble reading Lord of the Rings.
Because,
as far as the story goes, not sit down
and read it. Anybody can see Lord of the Rings, because you wouldn't want to bring a little kid to see that movie. That's a little bit.
That's why I love it.
They would be terrified. Like, a lot of kids would be terrified.
Yeah.
And Alex, I think you made a lot of Esteban. I'm going with Alex.
Finally got one.
And the main reason is a lot of what you said in your argument was it transcends, but you didn't skim me much more than it transcends. And Alex just gave a few more points and hit you a couple times with a couple good rebuttals there. But it was really close, actually. I had to kind of I was going with Esteban like originally because I had to go against my own bias and stuff. So he was winning throughout because I gave him like 10 bonus points.
The California draw may still be intact, but my draw's over, baby.
Wait until next week when you're back on a losing streak. Right. But yeah, no, that was a really good. That was a really good.
I get to pick the thing. You guys are going against each other next week.
I knew that. It's an uphill battle against Alex because he's very passionate about Harry Potter. I can't stress enough.
He actually researched this one. Last time we didn't have an answer until five minutes before.
Well, I was like, look at all this. I didn't think I was going to give you. You know, I thought it was going to be a good battle because based on what because I came into this kind of dry, you know, almost. I mean, I didn't do as much research because, like, you know, I gave this to you, you know, I think last night, this fight.
Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah, so I was like, wow. Yeah. I was like, he really did his homework.
Yeah, and I know Jamie loves both of these, but I know he wasn't going to be biased on it. Like he said, he was going
to
go
I definitely
do
tried to
And we
take
can
my
both
bias
agree that
it.
Whether you love Lord of the Rings Harry Potter, they're both amazing movies.
Yeah, like
if you haven't seen or read these, do it. Why haven't you yet?
I don't disagree with any of the points you made. It's just, like, I had to personally battle so hard because it's how special it is to me,
right.
What I mean, like, I couldn't have lost that one. I would have not been with myself.
Yeah, and that was another I think Alex had I disagree with you. I think people of any age, because we'll read this, because
you understand what I mean. It's like,
yeah,
I think it was more
towards
you.
It was more towards you.
I think it was tough for you because you came in so late to it and it was out of order. It didn't do the same thing for you.
Well, I've seen all of them now in order. Yeah. I know the story. I know the plot points. And still, I'm like,
well, with me, what Harry Potter did for me is I didn't like reading as a kid, and I started reading the first Harry Potter, and I read everyone after that, and just
that was a good point. You should have said it. During the argument, you won, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I always explain to people is
it
that
did,
it opened
it did
me
that
up
for
to reading, made me like reading.
You're not the only person, I'm sure.
All three of me, my brother, and my sister, all three of us. My all sister, right. Oh, man, she read the last book in a night, overnight. Mm-hmm. She got it at midnight, she finished it.
I read it in 2 days. I couldn't read as fast.
I read it in a week.
All
I
right, so let's go ahead.
In.
Let's wrap this up.
I knew this battle was going to happen eventually. I just didn't know.
Battle Royale!
But, like, next week, we'll have an even better. We'll actually think about the next one for next week. We'll
I have a couple written down.
Jamie had some
next
good
week.
Ones.
I promise we'll be a good one. I mean, Jamie, we'll
I thought that was a great head to head.
That was a really good one. Yeah, I was actually gonna have Lord of the Rings. I was gonna have you and Jamie fight it.
That
I know
him and I would have agreed.
Yeah, you guys would. So I was like, I'm
refused to change my answer.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and wrap this up. We went a little long today.
Yeah, this was a long day, but hey, guys, always thanks for the support. Thanks for listening. You can find us on where can you find us on?
iTunes, SoundCloud. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/PSC_podcast. You can find us at The Partners in Crime Podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud, and then just put it in. And Instagram, it's the same way. Just remember those spaces are underscores, and you'll find us there. Thanks to BatmanNews.com. Thanks to DC Cinematic Universe.
Metropolis
Facebook,
Comics.
Metropolis Comics, Pinnacle College. Anybody and everybody that listens to us and helps us. Mom,
I
want to
thank the Academy.
Sister, brother, I want to thank the Academy for all the things that they helped me accomplish personally. Yeah.
You guys, I want all my hobbits to revolt against this
decision. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, comment.
All my muggles out there.
Uh-huh. Comment to us.
Call in 916-529-9511.
/ Aragorn lives.
All right,
guys.
Yeah, comment to us what you thought about the battle. What do you think we should battle about? On Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, not Facebook yet, Instagram, SoundCloud,
iTunes.
Subscribe, subscribe, rate. Again, thank you guys very much, and we will talk to you next
week. Jamie got to host this one a little bit. There you go.
A little bit.
Bye, guys.